My name is Ryan Luke Winslade, and I am a PK and middle child. I know what it's like to be a misfit, an oddball, a weirdo, but I'm okay with that. If you're like me, you are most certainly welcome. Even if you're not, you'll hopefully enjoy yourself here on Pastor's Middle Kid anyway. We'll talk about stuff and look at things a little differently. All right, let's get started. G'day everyone, welcome to Pastor's Middle Kid. My name is Ryan Luke. It's great to have you listening. Today is a very special episode for PMK. It is not because it's a special number. No, this is episode 58, so I don't know if there's even any biblical significance for the number 58. Regardless, I have my oldest brother, Jordan, on the podcast today to talk about rapping, something that he loves to do. He's part of a band called Weather Permitting, and they will be the featured artist this week. It's very exciting to have him on. I've never done anything like this with family, so you'll maybe get a broader look into my life as a whole. You'll even have a couple of childhood stories referenced and not explained. I hope you're looking forward to that. I apologize about being off for a few weeks. It wasn't that I was out of the country or anything. I felt like I needed some time to go home and rethink my life, as Obi-Wan advises the creepy man with the antennae in episode 2 who tries to sell him death sticks. And by that I mean I was taking some time to think about the podcast and the direction that I want to take with it. I know you're listening and thinking, my goodness, Ryan, didn't you already do that twice? Well, yes, dear listener, I did. However, this time, it's for real. I think I heard that in a rap song once. That might be relevant later. Anyway, I've found that the episodes where people really get hyped about what they're talking about are the ones that hit home. So, today I have my brother, and next week I have a very special guest. You'll have to tune in then to hear that, but it's going to be awesome. I'm also going to introduce a couple of new segments. First of all, there's a segment which won't start this week. This is your warning. Next week, we will have Listener of the Week, which is going to be a segment that is more of a crowd participation thing. So if you have any awesome feedback from this episode, or you have any suggestions, if you think I'm cool, or if you did something awesome and you want to share it with Pastor's Middle Kid, then put it on the Facebook page or tweet if you use Twitter. You can find those links in the description of this podcast and you'll get a shout out. And I'll even say something that I think is sweet about you. Next up, we have the very first installment of a new segment called Unanswered Questions. One day I was pondering something, and as I pondered, my eyes wandered up, not looking at anything in particular. I was just kind of looking up, and it helped me think. Perhaps that was because I was not looking at anything that could distract me. I was just looking at the ceiling. Regardless of what it was, I really want to know why you look up when you're thinking hard about something. Music for this week is Weather Permitting, like I said. This song is called London Door, and it's one that they love to play live. It was one of the first songs written off this album, Songlines. Hope you enjoy it and stick around for the interview with my brother Jordan about his passion for rapping. These confines can't hold me back anymore, friend, cause the signs of the holy crack. Every day, friend, I'm condemned to be bled, then dead, this trend. Jordan Winslade, welcome to Pastor's Middle Kid.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Honestly, it's a privilege to be here.
Yeah, well, you happen to be the pastor's eldest kid. So if you ever wanted to start a podcast and name it P-E-K, then I would probably sue you, but that'd be all right. I don't think I'd be able to get anything out of you, and that's not because you don't have any money. It's because I don't think this is a big deal at all. Anyway, right. I have you on the podcast today to talk about a significant passion of yours, mm-hmm. and that is rapping.
Yeah.
And that is rapping with no W, so not Christmas presents or anything, but rapping as in spitting bars or rhymes or whatever else people call it.
Whatever else people spit.
What are some other slang terms for rapping?
Rapping. Just flowing. If they're freestyling, they like to say that they're ciphering.
Right. You've covered it. A cipher sesh type of thing, right?
Yeah, they love the cipher circle. Freestyle, yeah. MCs. Oh, MCing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like to call themselves MCs sometimes. Sometimes,
but that's not master of ceremonies. Is that something else?
Well. See, there's two different MCs, right? So I, at first, when I was introduced to the concept, I was like you. I thought, doesn't that mean master of ceremony? Isn't that someone who like introduces or you know, like maybe it's the guy that
some
goes...
some kind of event. Something.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, or like in a hip-hop sense, maybe it was someone who kind of was like, yo, this next guy coming up is this. And then they kind of like, they sort of stand there and they're like the hype guy and sort of, and kind of say the odd little like, you know, gangster bit of lingo. But no, I found out that actually a lot of the rappers that I knew referred to an MC as a person who could do a few different mediums within the realm of hip-hop. So to speak. So if it was a person who could rap, who could maybe freestyle, so they could write rhymes, they could also freestyle, maybe they could beatbox and like do another medium, graffiti, paint, you know, or maybe they could break dance
or mm-hmm.
yeah, break it down, b-boy style or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. As you can tell, I'm not necessarily super a part of the overall culture. My, as you know, Ryan, but not many other people would know, I didn't grow up in any sort of real hip-hop context. So for me, it's been an interesting journey in that regard.
That actually surprises me. I'm kidding. Obviously, I'm kidding. Okay, so why don't we start there? What is your history with rapping? Because I know from growing up in the same house as you that you didn't grow up rapping. It wasn't really until you were 19 or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
I first heard you ever rap, and it was in a song that you wrote, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. What is your history with rapping, and how did it all come about? Because I'm partly curious as well, because I mostly just know through assumption and through hearing you freestyling in a different room in the house. So what's your history?
The history. Well, my history with rap is an interesting one. I was never really a part of any culture, as I said, but I was exposed to very, very small parts, bits and pieces of you know, songs or rappers who did the influence me a little bit, but I never tried to learn any of those rap verses. Like, I would probably have to say the earliest like music that I ever heard that had any sort of rapping in it was actually DC Talk. And for me, that was I often reflect on that and think, in a lot of ways, it was because of DC Talk, because of the way that they kind of fused rap with a few different other genres into their own unique medium. It was because of that fact that I kind of thought, eventually down the track, even considered that it was, you know, possible. Like I said, not really much other than, you know, the odd songs here and there. I remember growing up, in Penrith when we were there for a few years, and you probably will remember this too. Some of our neighbours used to like play really loud hip hop music, like over the back fence on the Lakes Drive house in Penrith.
Yeah,
there was like Eminem, and
that was the house you accidentally flung a Beyblade into the backyard of one day.
Yes. Oh man,
that's a story for a different time. Oh, anyway, man. Keep going.
Shattering dreams, left, right, and center. Yes, he'll have to.
So that was the letting it rip, and now let's get back to letting it rap.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. Well done. Master of ceremonies. So from there, pretty much in high school, later high school, you know, from probably year 9, 10 onwards, I got exposed to Lecrae, you know, and that sort of Christian hip-hop that started coming out of the American scene. And we all did in our family. I know Benji, our other brother, one of our other brothers, was very, very much into it. And him and his friends used to really love it. And so I kind of, because I shared a room with Benji at the time, I got into it. And I learned a couple of verses here and there, but still never quite really thought that I could do it. But then the change really happened for me. I guess I should really sort of speed the story up. But the change happened for me when I actually went and did a DTS at YOM in Adelaide. Now, I'd heard of the Hilltop Hoods, this Australian hip-hop group, and they're kind of like – they're quite often referred to as like the pioneers of Australian hip-hop. And for me,
I did that song Nosebleed Section. Right.
Yeah, the song that pretty much everyone knows. It's like the only song that they really know. And for me, it was the same deal. I only knew one of their songs. It was the Nosebleed Section. It was actually because Benji had been given a compilation album from one of his friends, which had all sorts of random songs from all different eras. And one of the songs on there was that. I'm pretty sure it was meant to be a pump-up workout album or something that they compiled.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. Whatever 15-year-olds listen to when they work out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pumping iron and getting ripped, wrapped. Anyway, so then I heard that song. And I knew that they were from Adelaide. When I went to Adelaide, I had this feeling. I was like, man, I'm kind of in like the birthplace of Australian hip hop, which is kind of a bit of a cool thing. But I didn't think anything of it. I started attempting here and there. I would muck around a bit with rapping. And I play guitar. For anyone else that doesn't know, not as good as Ryan, but I play guitar and I used to write these songs that I couldn't finish. I would write choruses and I would always get frustrated because I couldn't finish these songs. And I'm like, I remember one day I was actually on my outreach and we were in Thailand, no, Cambodia. And I was sitting there and I just got so frustrated. And I remember just saying to God, God, you know, why can't I finish writing songs? You know, I've got all these songs and I'm just stuck, you know? And not even kidding, it's probably one of the clearest times that I can honestly say I've had God speak to me. It was like a voice in my head, these words that kind of just were there, and I could feel them, hear them. It was this experience, and I felt like God was saying to me, why don't you rap? And I just remember sitting there and almost laughing, you know, like almost falling off the chair, because I was like, okay, wait. Firstly, God, I'm white. Secondly, I'm Australian. They're two very, very big things that kind of are going against me in regards to this. But I believe that God told me then, he was like, don't worry about it, you know. There's literally, who is it gonna hurt to try, you know? At the time, the rest of my team were sleeping, having a midday nap. And the only people around were Cambodian that couldn't speak English. So God was like, firstly, there's no one around. Secondly, the only ones that are can't speak your language. So you're pretty safe. And I just remember I just felt, okay, all right, I'll do this. And I just started playing some very simple repetitive chord progression on the guitar. And these words just started flowing out, you know, just in this amazing sort of 10-minute flow of rap, and I was absolutely blown away. I couldn't believe it, because it was almost as if it was like a prophetic word or speaking in tongues. What I was hearing was making sense, but it didn't make sense yet to me that this could be happening. So I remember stopping and trying to desperately write down things. You know, I'm going to forget it all. Oh my goodness, the one time I get a song. And but I probably the most vivid memory I have of that day was the words coming into my head of God just saying, "Don't worry, I'm going to give you the words. You don't need to worry about it. Just trust me. Trust that I'll give you the words. Trust that I'll be the one that'll make it happen, and rely on me, and you know, have faith in regards to that, and you'll never have to worry. I'll give you the words." So, and from that point onwards, like the ability to freestyle, sort of rap, come up with things, and just have it sort of flow, particularly when it was and situations where I felt like God was speaking, it became almost like a prophetic sort of speaking in tongues type thing for me. So that was where it started. And then from there, I was on a few different DTSs and second level schools where we'd travel around and often would just find myself rapping in just social situations, walking down the street with a team of people in a crowd or at a concert or doing evangelism or something. And I'd always had a few people around me that would either beatbox or would like get into it as well. Shout out to Michael Wilson if he ever listens to this, or Adam or Adam Feldstein, these sorts of guys who just were, you know, they encouraged me and they really supported me. And really, it made a huge difference for me because I had these people. There was another guy, Breno, who came around me who really just spoke life and encouragement into what God had said. And then after a season of that, God actually challenged me to start really working on perfecting writing rap verses. And so from that, that was when I came back, and that's when you would have suddenly heard me in my room in a different part of the house, rhyming and coming up with these rap verses that were probably a little bit foreign and strange to begin with and repetitive, as was my process and as still is my process. But yeah, from there, I felt, you know, God definitely challenged me to go from, you know, all right, you trust me in this area, now trust me in actually working hard to try and like perfect what, you know, and to practice what you've been given. And from there, that was really how I got into rap. I had these influences without necessarily having them be what I based my craft upon. It was more something, a moment that God kind of activated something within me that I didn't necessarily know I had. So yeah, that's the story, I guess, of how it started.
Mm-hmm. So we went from I Love Rap Music by DC Talk on a bit of a musical roller coaster, ended up with Lecrae and Flame and all those guys. Then you did DTS and you had a bit of a supernatural moment that unlocked this whole this world of rap to you, in a sense. And you could draw the you could say it's of some significance that you were in the Adelaide Hills at the time. And so I understand having known you before your DTS and having this this ability to rap to now, I know that there was a massive change that happened over that time. And when you got back, you had one song that we learned all the rap words to, and then we'd rap along with you and make fun of you and all that, just like good siblings do. Now, from then, you said that you practiced a lot writing and going through the songwriting process. I distinctly remember hearing you probably talking to Benji, our other brother, about freestyling and how you just gotta you think of a word that you're gonna get to, and then you think of the word you're gonna get to after that at the end of each of the lines, and then you just let whatever else happen in between where you are at the beginning and where you want to get to at the end of the line. That's about all I know about freestyling, and I'm really not very good at it. But explain a bit of the freestyle process and how you use that in songwriting.
Okay, so 2 points, I guess, right here. Firstly, the freestyle process, for me, I could probably break it down like this. If I'm in a situation where I'm feeling like, I don't know, I guess, like for me personally, the presence of God is moving, or there's something that I'm responding to. Quite often I can respond to a situation or to a topic or to an idea if I'm feeling God moving in that. And as a result, the freestyle verse that I'll bring out will be really relevant and will be kind of this spontaneous thing, which is really cool. But then other times, if I'm not in a situation that's either like that, or maybe I'm just sort of like mucking around or something, I've often found that freestyling can be a little bit of a hit and miss, a bit of a risky kind of scenario sometimes, and you do need to have a couple of fail safes just to sort of secure the process, incorporating words and doing it in such a way that it almost foreshadows what's to come, you know. And you don't put the name, if you're rapping about people's names, you don't always put it in the first line, you put it in the second one. All these sorts of things are really good. So I've known some rappers to have like fallback lines if they're losing their flow, you know. So quite often if you hear a rapper who's obviously freestyling, say, kind of get back, they've been rapping, and then suddenly they're like, yeah, check on the microphone or any sort of thing like that, you know, where they kind of have it's a moment for them to regather themselves to then go into a new flow. And that's okay as well, you know. I've found that over the last few years I've had moments when I realize, oh, I actually do that with my own sentences. I have my own fallbacks that I've kind of unknowingly, you know, built up. But as far as how like freestyle impacts songwriting, for me, it actually impacts it quite a lot. In a general sense for me, the way that I write songs now is through responding to what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling. So if I say I'm writing a song on the guitar, I've got the chords, maybe I've got the chorus already or some of it, and I know what the chorus has said. And quite often, so I'll be playing it and I'll get my phone or another recording device of some sort, and I will sit there and I will play what I've got, the chords, and I just start freestyling. And I hope and I pray in that moment that there's some sort of inspiration that might happen, or maybe I might use some really cool rhythms or use some words in a way that I haven't done before. And then I listen back after stopping and I'll go back through and I'll try and like cut out bits and pieces and see if there's anything there that I can actually use. So it's quite a common part of my songwriting process. It also is a way for me to get songs that are nowhere near finished out into the public at a performance, because having the capacity to sort of freestyle allows me to get out there, bring a chorus that I like, and almost like test it out on people a couple of freestyle verses.
And often in that type of scenario, you can you find what works and what doesn't with the song, and what people respond to and what they don't. I know that you've found in moments like that where you freestyle a verse and then have a chorus, it can either be the most amazing thing people have ever heard, or it can be a complete flop. I've seen both happen, and I've also seen some of those freestyle moments make their way into the actual song. And they've become the lyrics, the parts that you rap or you sing from there on. So it's a bit of it's an experimentation, a public experimentation.
It is.
Yeah.
And it is risky as well. Like you said, it can be very risky. And I've certainly experienced some very embarrassing moments with freestyling. I've experienced some amazing moments with freestyling where I've really, like, there was a moment, and I think you were there, it was at EXO Day, which was held in Sydney, this amazing Christian, you know, one day music festival. And there was a rap competition. Yep. And I had the opportunity to go into this freestyle competition. And I actually won, and it was amazing. Yeah. Then there have been other times where I've performed, like you said, and it can be hit and miss. And certainly, you know, it's not something that I ever want to take lightly. Like, you know, if I'm performing for people, I do know that maybe if the song has a really deep meaning, I should be a little more just aware and careful of what's coming out of my mouth. Because sometimes if a verse is not necessarily flowing very well, or if I say a wrong word here or there, it can be very embarrassing. It can be hard to sort of recover. And in those moments, you really just have to laugh and keep
is there a rhyme or something you've said while freestyling that you remember that was very embarrassing that isn't... It's not anything too bad. Something that could be said on a family-friendly program. Anything that you have said that hasn't been family-friendly has been a complete accident, and I've witnessed it, and it's been hilarious. What's an embarrassing moment that you could share with the listeners?
Okay, well, there was one, obviously, family friendly here. There was one where I was at this music festival that you and I used to go to called Black Stump, and it was sort of a last moment sort of inclusion. I got asked to go and perform at an art venue that they had there. Like, they'd set up this art drama kind of like space, and I got called up and they're like, yeah, can you just come in and like we need someone to fill in like a 30-minute slot, and we've told them that you freestyle and they want you to freestyle about, like, they're going to choose a topic from anyone in the crowd and you have to freestyle about it. And I'm like thinking, at the time I was like, well, okay, well, I guess this is kind of cool because I'm going to go, you know, I get a chance to perform here again, that's cool. But I didn't realize the venue was actually packed out. It was, we're not talking, you know, hundreds and hundreds, but we're talking, you know, a good 100-ish or so packed into this shed. The funny thing is, it sounds really amazing. I was in this venue and I had it packed out to 100. They were actually there waiting for the next act that I was. I'd only just been slotted in between to fill a gap. So everyone was like fighting for seats and they were sitting there. And anyway, so I do a couple of my songs and they interview me a little bit and it's cool. And they're like, okay, and now it's time for the freestyle. And I thought that they'd forgotten. Yeah. I was hoping they had. Not that but I was just a little bit, I was like, because I have to play the guitar here, I have to come up with some chords that I, you know, just that are cool, and I have to think of it all on the spot because I had no time to prepare. And they're like, now we're going to ask someone in the crowd for a theme. And they found this boy and they're like, okay, can you give Jordan a theme to rap about? And the boy goes, Star Wars. Now, I must inform everyone that I come from a family that is pretty well versed regarding Star Wars fandom, you know, fan culture and everything like that. So I have grown up
watching. And for the record, that little boy was not me.
I was wondering. Anyway, so when I heard this announcement, I'm like, well, okay, I have a few things that I can say. Anyways, but I didn't have a really good depth of knowledge. I just had names and a few references. So anyway, I figure out my chords awkwardly. I kind of just put the capo and slid it a couple times and I'm like, okay, yep, that sounds good in front of everyone. And I start playing and I start rapping and it's coming along okay. I'm doing the technique that we mentioned earlier. I've got the names like Obi-Wan, Princess Leia, Yoda, Death Star, and I'm throwing them in here and there. And then the boy who actually, after a little while, who asked for it to be Star Wars, he moved down the front and he sits almost right at my feet and he's just there staring at me. And so I think that it's this really cool opportunity maybe, you know, because I'm seeing people around like, oh, yeah, I should involve this boy. So I start rapping and I say something like, I don't know, it was like I made a joke about him being like Chewbacca or something like that. And the boy, like, and I did it in such a way that I was, like, wanting him to, like, respond. Like I'm like, yeah, that was kind of funny.
You were kind of provoking him with a freestyle joke.
Yeah, but he was like, so perplexed. He was so stunned that I even involved him at all that he just sat there looking at me. And I'm just playing and I'm, like, wait, I'm trying to, like, bounce off him a bit. And there's nothing. And the crowd's just kind of looking at me and I like, almost lose my rhythm and I almost lose my flow. And then I start saying something like, I'm pretty sure I told him that he better like start laughing, otherwise I'm going to tell his mum that he's been bad or something like that. Somehow that comes out of my freestyle and the boy just looks terrified. And so suddenly I'm just like, and moving on to another topic and I start just rapping and I just like stop looking at him completely because he was like sitting at my feet at the base of the stage and I'm just like, oh my goodness, what just happened?
Oh, wow.
So I thankfully finished, got out of there. I was really embarrassed. I didn't stick around for the next performance. No one left. They were obviously all there for that.
Wow.
That's probably the most Yeah, that's probably the most family-friendly one, other than the time that I was rapping at an after-school care program, and all the kids wanted me to rap each and every one of their names. I'm talking like 30 kids. Okay, do mine now. All right. Yeah, in the moment when I'm going to write a song about my friend named Ben and going through all these different kids until finally the last one that came towards me that wanted me to rap. I'm like thinking, okay, it's going to be something all right. You know, I can handle it. I've done all these names. I've done like 29 names. And I'm like, okay, what's your name? And she's like, Lexi. And I just was like, the only thing that jumped into my head was like the one thing that I'm like, there is no way I'm saying that word. So for the whole time, like for the two lines getting to her name, the line getting to her name, I'm just like drawing it out and I'm just like, please, Lord, let it be a really appropriate word, please. And I think I might have cheated a bit and said like, gets the, you know, this is a song for the person that gets the verse as I'm doing this for my friend named Lexi. I don't know, but it was just like, I was like terrified in that moment. So yeah, they're probably my two favorite ones. I would think.
Oh my goodness.
There are other ones that are just nightmare material.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there are. And especially when it's, you're not giving more than a split second thought to each and every word.
Yeah.
So I understand that that things can get a little shaky at times. Okay, so some people listening may know you are in a band called Weather Permitting. And at the moment, that band is based out of the Gold Coast. You released an album a couple of years ago, was it? 2 years ago? 3 years?
Yeah, 2015.
2015. All right. That was an independent record, and it was called Songlines, and there were some catchy songs on that. Now, your style is a bit of a fusion, isn't it? How do you describe your style as Weather Permitting?
We used to throw out the term a stew of sounds. Was something that my good friend Marky Holberton, Mark, used to say. He was like, Weather Permitting is a tasty stew of sounds.
That sounds like something you would say.
He, for anyone out there who doesn't know, he's a very, very funny, goofy kind of character, so that's kind of just the sort of thing that he says very regularly. But
he actually got me into radio, believe it or not. Okay, sorry, continue.
He did. Man, the connections. Anyhow, so other people have said that we kind of, it's, you know, there's this folk and rap kind of fusion that we do, which if you say close together is folk rap. So we have often used that as like a bit of a pun, you know, in our, or play on words in our concerts as a moment of humor to try and like distract the audience from the fact that we're trying to like set up for another song.
So you say something like,
or like tune my guitar.
We can't transition folk rap, right? Okay.
Yes, something like that. And along that, we basically have been couple of guitarists, so I play mostly sort of rhythm guitar, bit of finger picking in there, but it's still very rhythmic. And then we typically have had a lead guitarist, acoustic guitar over the top, making it sound very pretty. And then in the choruses, we have three-part harmonies doing the choruses, and then the verses I rap, and then the others do vocal bits that kind of just envelop it and make it sound very beautiful.
Right, so nothing too clear-cut, but a nice blend of styles and personalities even that come out in people's unique contributions. I played one of the songs from your album as music going into this interview, and I'm going to play one at the end as well.
Yeah.
One song that I do want to pick apart for the next couple of minutes is the song Wanted from your album Songlines. This song is about the need that everybody has for community and for love. Talk about how you came up with the rap lyrics for this song, because the second verse is particularly quick. Could you actually rap a few lines of that now, just so people get an understanding of how fast it is?
Yeah, I can do that. All right, so I'll just do that for you guys right now. All right, so this is the second verse from Wanted. Given everything and all the king's been honesty and liberal, we're going to be anonymous anomalies. Can I be an honoring and honorary borrowing? Got a winner following the son of the reponering. There we go.
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Just... That's the first like quarter of the verse.
Yeah. So, listeners, in case you couldn't tell, my brother can rap.
That was actually words.
Yeah, that was actually... I think if you slowed it down, you'd be able to hear each and every word. But to the average listener, it's just a bunch of mumbo-jumbo.
Yeah, that's...
So you came up with the lyrics for this, for these verses. You came up with them, was it by rhythmic feel? You wanted something to be really quick and then you just broke it down word by word, or was it something that you freestyled and are you a superhero? What's going on?
So I get what you mean. Sometimes I do wake up feeling particularly fly. Anyway, for this song, what I did was, not like I said, the normal process that I've had is to freestyle quite often and then to break down and see what if I like that and get a feel for the song. In this song, I got the second verse first, and that kind of formed the whole basis of the song. Now, initially, the reason why I was coming up with this song was because Marley, my wife, and I had actually held a little fundraiser because we needed to raise a bit of money for her to buy a plane, you know, airplane ticket to go back to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
At the time,
which is where she's from,
mm-hmm. And we were dating at the time, and we were gonna in the season of heading towards getting engaged, and so we needed to get her back to Canada. We had to get her home, mm-hmm. And one of the things that I decided to use as a fundraising tool was actually to auction off my songwriting. And I thought it was just going to be in the context of actually, you know, writing a song for a particular person, making it quirky. Yeah, like a quirky sort of thing that I could give to them, record it, and they'd have it, and they could, like, you know, share it around, show their family and friends. Yeah. But a good friend of ours, Duncan, who was in Canberra at the time, actually, he outbid everyone, and he actually said afterwards, when I'm like, okay, so what do you want it to be about? He's like, I actually want it to be about this theme that I've been, like, really thinking about, and the people in my share house, we often really talk about it. They lived in a house with a bunch of Christian guys, and they were always inviting people around, always wanting to have something happening there, trying to make it feel like a very welcoming, communal, sort of involved space where they weren't afraid to talk about, like, God. They involved people that weren't Christians as well. They got people in and into that atmosphere, and it was actually a really amazing situation. I actually went there and checked out the house and had a meal. Duncan's like, yeah, it's just about, I really want a song that, you know, I feel like our society, and especially even like Christian circles, we've forgotten the need for community. We've forgotten how important it is to be connected with people like that, and how God intended it to be. Given everything and all the kings bringing on the scene, never ever gonna be anonymous anomalies. Can I be an honoring and honorary borrowing? Got a winner following, a son of love you following. Pondering the honor, winter, stand a song of plunge, and king of drinking, winter, sinning, winter, sinning, wondering. Will there be a common thing, a stronger tell where it is? Got a name coming in, our risking is running. Ah, think we're meant for this. Ah, evidence is a friend, the risk is better than anything I'm befriending and letting. Don't forget it, we get it, king. I'm regretting the loneliness in my life. I was meant to be part, blood flowing, this corporate heart. I forgot the communion was yet to start until I was joined this collage. And so it really struck me what he said. And so the chorus, I wrote the chorus initially, and that was just really simple. Our hearts cry out to be wanted. We were not made to be alone. And from that one line, I got this idea.
Yeah.
And so I started just experimenting with rhythm. Take a look at words, and he reveals that together we're better as one body. Will you listen? Far cry how can I rap in such a way that I can get a real, like, good flow, a good amount of speed, and still have it make sense and still have it sound, you know, interesting. So I just started out with the first line, given everything and all the king is bringing, honestly, working on the syllables, you know, the rhythm and picking apart and using those syllables as rhythm, you know, and just breaking it apart like that. That do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and I was like, okay, all right. So from there, I worked on the first two lines. I built upon that. I'm like, I have to make sure that the rhythms work, and I have to make sure that at least that there's a rhyming scheme that will progress as I go through. And I found that it was a really big challenge, but I was extremely motivated because of the fact that there was this external factor, you know, of someone asking me to do this, someone who'd bid and paid money for it, but they also wanted something deeper from it. And it was a challenge that I hadn't had before. And yeah, as a result, I mean, I'm talking like probably months of working on that verse, of just getting that. I got the rhythms, and then I had to really work upon, like, just work on actually teaching myself this, because it was so quick that I had to really commit to it as well. And it took a while before I was able to actually perform it publicly. There've been a couple times where I've performed it and I haven't quite got the flow of it very well, but people quite often don't realize, depending on how good the sound system is. And also depending on if I make a big deal of of a stuff up. But for the most part, I've found that as I've practiced and, you know, a lot of people only heard the song for the first time on the album, and that was a really cool thing as well, to kind of surprise people with this song that was like a little bit different and had a special meaning, but also had a cool aspect to it. So yeah, once I wrote that second verse, I kind of was like, this feels like a very big, like, crescendo. This is like the selling point of this song. This is the main factor here. So I'm like, this can't be the first verse. So then I worked on creating a first verse that had certain variations to it, a couple moments of like injecting some like sung lyrics, so that there was a bit of a flow that was different, with a little bit more emphasis on speed towards the end of the verse, to kind of like clue in the fact.
Kind of foreshadow to come.
Exactly, yeah. So that was how this song was made. But man, oh man, did it take. It took a lot of effort to really practice that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, we're going to have to, pardon the pun, wrap things up here.
It's my favorite.
The whole process of rapping, as we've said, is something that was not something that you grew up with. In fact, when you progressed to Lecrae and other artists like that, and then Hilltop Hoods and everyone else that you listen to these days, I actually stayed with the DC Talk, so I'm down with the DC Talk stuff. Down with the DC Talk. Down with the DC Talk. And that's about as hip-hop as I get, although you may find me rapping every now and then in my songs, but I cannot freestyle at all, because I think I'm a little too afraid of making a fool of myself. So, like, you have that going for you. You're not afraid courageous in that sense.
Not afraid of making a fool of myself. Maybe in that regard. Yeah. I think that there's definitely an aspect of just needing to lay some of that I don't know, maybe not necessarily professionalism, but, you know, that sort of like that higher standard of, you know, good, you know, quality music. It's not always going to be like that, but it is exciting and it is really engaging and involving. It involves an audience really well. So yeah, it is a totally different way of presenting a song.
Yeah. So where can listeners go to pick up this album?
Yeah. So if you would like to get a hold of this album, just head on to any of the online music stores. So you can go to iTunes, Google Play. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on, I think, most of the other mediums. Also, if you check out our Facebook page, you can you'll get directed to the appropriate places as well. And I think that we also still have some hard copies that we can send as well. There's a some sort of setup that we have hooked in if you're interested.
There's probably a limited supply of those now because there was only a certain amount printed. So if you really want the physical copy, yeah, hit up the Weather Permitting Facebook page and send them a message and tell them you want to buy a CD. Jordan, it's been great having you on PMK today as the PEK. This song is called The Marked One. It is from Weather Permitting's album Songlines. Go check it out, and here is a sneaky listen to that. Tune in next time, please, to Pastor's Middle Kid. I'm Ryan Luke. Goodbye. So I can't believe what I've done now. My blood is mixed with this mud now. I've done the thing that brings hunger in the discovered sin, and I'm shut now. Your blunted blood on the ground brings thunder onto the sound of the audible void that is here as your voice has been silenced and no longer found. My God, what have I done? I hear footsteps, where can I run? No, I can't hide, nor can I lie. You know that he died and he was your son. So am I, now I must go out of your presence to where I don't know. Cursed with my choice and losing your voice, I see this destroys the chance to regrow. Brothers to life, now gone, I covered inside. Was directed to you and the things that you do, it infected the promise of light in my eyes. Once bright and was right as well, my plight would ignite and inspire hell. Am I too far gone from the truth to be mourned as abuse was on myself? No excuses coming from me, I believe and receive that I won't be free. Given a mark in the out in the dark, they would die if they ever harm me. My tree spawns from the seed of your death, the longing and hunger will soil our chest. Giving out pain and breaking our name, a cycle that leaves me bleeding with less. Cain, I fall with the throw of a stone like Cain. Oh, Cain, I fall with the throw of a stone like choice to compare. Reinforce my fears and my never enough. Cried the tears in my comparison. Choice to compare. Reinforce my fears and my never enough. Cried the tears in my comparison. Such as I have, I hide behind my jealousy. Such as I have, I hide behind my jealousy. And the ground went dead under my feet, and my torment uprooted and died. Lived out of my grief, out of my pain, out of my sin, and out of my stains. I built a city on top of this brokenness and filled it with the seed of my shame.